Look at verse number 9. It says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Do you see how that keeps getting hammered? After his kind, after his kind, after his kind. When we get into the animals, what's it going to say over and over again? After his kind, after his kind, after his kind. Look, if God's hammering something that much, it must be significant. Everything brings forth after its own kind. Plants bring forth after their own kind, and animals bring forth after their own kind. And this is what's wrong with the theory of evolution, which claims that one kind of animal can evolve into another kind of animal. Notice I didn't say species. You see, the evolutionists want to move the goalpost on this, and they want to talk about the origin of the species. Notice it's not called the origin of the kinds. The origin of the species. See, a kind of animal would be a broader category, like a dog, a cat. But there could be a whole bunch of different kinds of, or I shouldn't use the word kind. Now I'm mixing things up here. You know, within the kind of animal, dog, there could be all different breeds of dog, couldn't there? You know, and look, some breeds of dog are dramatically different from one another. I mean, if you look at a standard poodle versus a teacup poodle, or you looked at a Chihuahua versus a Great Dane, there's great variation. And you could look at even outside of domesticated dogs, you could look at the wolf and the coyote and these different types of canine animals, but they're all dogs. That's one kind of animal. So when God says everything brings forth after its own kind, he's not saying everything's going to bring forth after some man-made classification called species. It's going to be the same kind of animal, but there can be a lot of variations within that kind. Okay. And so whenever you ask people for the proof of evolution, and believe me, I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours listening to different lecturers and professors and scientists, you know, giving all the proof for evolution, and you're just like waiting for it, and you're waiting for it, and you're waiting for it, and it just doesn't come because this is their proof. They'll take you to the Galapagos Islands and tell you, hey, these finches, you know, their beak went to 1 millimeter shorter. I'm not kidding. And then 10 years later, it got 1 millimeter longer again, and we were back to the beginning. We're watching evolution take place in real time. That's what they say. You don't believe me? Read a book called Beak of the Finch by Jonathan Weiner. And that's what it, that, you know, it's like every page is like, wow, so exciting. We're watching evolution take place in real time. You know, this is amazing. I mean, you know, watching these finches. Their beak has become a half a millimeter longer. I mean, evolution confirmed. But at the end of the day, you know what? It's still a finch. Still a bird. And let me tell you, when the scientists classify things into species, they'll take two animals that can breed together and produce offspring that can breed, and they'll take two animals that can breed together and say, no, these are two different species. Even though they can breed together. Because here's what they'll say. Well, but they don't like to breed together. So they'll, you know, they'll have these two birds that are virtually the same. One of them's white and the other one's magenta. And they can totally breed with each other and they're totally compatible. But, you know, one of them lives over here and one of them lives over here and they don't interact that much. You know, one's red, one's white. It's the same bird. They can mate together and produce offspring. But these are two different species to them. You know, and those finches on the Galapagos, I think they said there's like 11 species of these things. But, you know, because any time they don't really breed together that often, or maybe they're separated by geography, oh, different species. Folks, if you applied that logic to human beings, how many species of humans would there be? You'd basically look at Japan and say, that's a species. You know, because they typically, you know, marry other Japanese people. You know, because Japan's been pretty isolated throughout history. They like to keep it, you know, it in Japan. They don't really like a lot of immigrants coming in, and they don't really go out as much. So you could say like, oh, this is, you know, Homo Japanesus sapiens or something. You know what I mean? But guess what? All human beings are human beings. There's no, they don't divide humans into species because that would be stupid, wouldn't it? If they divided humans into species, it would be absurd. But then why do they take two birds that are the same in every way and can breed with each other, but they're just two different colors, and that's a new species now? Does everybody see what I'm saying? I mean, should we divide humans into species based on color or geography, or if they live on an island and don't interact with other people? Well, that's a species? It's ludicrous. So then you'll have these scoffers say, well, how can Noah put every animal on the ark when there's, you know, so many species? Because Noah didn't have to put every species on the ark. He just has to put every kind of animal in there. You know, I believe that Noah just had two dogs on the ark. Just two dogs. And you say, well, you believe that every dog on this planet came from two original dogs? Folks, the evolutionists believe that every animal on this planet came from two original dogs. Okay? I mean, that didn't come out right. But basically, they believe that every animal on this planet came from one original organism. So is it really that crazy to think that two dogs produced the variety of dogs that we see today, thousands and thousands of years later? Okay? So the point is, all dogs are related, but they're not related to cats. They're not related to apples and oranges, okay? They are a kind of animal, a dog, and you can breed different dog breeds together and mix them. And, you know, sometimes you could get strange outcomes, but you can mix them together, but they're always going to produce a dog, so they're always going to bring forth after their own kind. And you can mix plants. You know, plants can be mixed into a hybrid. You can have a Tangelo or what are some other mixes? Boysenberry, what? Is that a thing? A grapple? Man, it sounds like a jujitsu fruit or something. So apparently you can mix a grape and an apple. So everything brings forth after its own kind. And you know what? There's no scientific evidence whatsoever of one kind producing another kind. You know, oh, we have this bacteria. We watched it evolve into another bacteria. Oh, we watched these finches evolve into finches with a little bit longer beak or a little bit shorter beak. That's not macroevolution, okay? That is just variation within the kind, okay? And that's just a normal everyday occurrence.